This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
People the world over have a deep affection for the largest land animals. That would be elephants. Currently, only a small percentage of pachyderms remain in the wild. To allow more people to enjoy them, many elephants have been corralled into lives of captivity in zoos and entertainment venues. Georgia Umeno is an author and animal environmental advocate. She's the author of Terriers in the Jungle, and she joins us via Zoom from California. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us. I take it that being an animal and an environmental advocate, that you're not a fan of the idea of zoos or entertainment venues, correct?
That's correct. I was one of the many protesters who fought against the big Ringling Brothers circuses for years. Every time they came to Los Angeles, we were out there in droves and passing out flyers and demonstrating. And it was because a lot of local laws were passed based on all the demonstrations around the country that local communities said they do not want Ringling coming to their area. And so many areas were shut down that it made it very difficult for Ringling to continue.
Now, let's go to your book, which is called, as I mentioned, Terriers in the Jungle. Let's start off by the title. Why Terriers in the Jungle?
Terriers in the Jungle is a novel, but it's based on real life experiences where I've been an elephant advocate for a number of years, and I had made several trips to Kenya writing articles about conservation and elephants and travel. And the last time I was there, 2017, I said to my husband, I want to live here because we had such a wonderful time every time. It's so beautiful there. I love the animals. So he said, okay. So we came home, we packed up our things, made arrangements, and we went back there not knowing how long we were going to be there. So of course I had to bring my two dogs with me. They're two little rescue dogs. And and they came and we had a lot of adventures over there. And the dogs, I realized, were having their own adventures and meeting wild animals. So I just started writing down their adventures. So Terriers in the Jungle is their story written from their voices. And so they're both talking the whole time, telling about themselves, their family, their trip to Africa, and all the things that happened.
So let's get back to the elephants themselves. As I mentioned in the introduction, only a small percentage remain in the wild. So I'm sure you don't want to see animals in captivity. Is it possible to return animals that have been in captivity for years back into the wild?
Well, that depends really on the animal and the situation, but say,
I'm talking primarily about elephants right now,
elephants. Elephants, you know, after many of them have been stolen from the wild when they were babies. And so they never learned all the lessons from their mothers that they would have learned in the wild, how to forage for food, how to survive, and many things. So it would be very difficult to try to take an elephant that was in a zoo for 20 years and just throw them back into the jungle. So that's why they have sanctuaries. And we have three sanctuaries in the States. And the sanctuaries are very good. They give the elephants lots of space to roam around, and they slowly introduce them to other elephants, and they make their own choices. The elephants can decide, do they want to be friends, not be friends? Do they want to walk here? Do they want to go there? Do they want to stay and do nothing? I mean, they give them as much freedom as they possibly can.
So again, going back to the fact that the small percentage of elephants remain in the wild, are there diminishing numbers because of poaching or capturing for zoos and entertainment, or a combination of both?
A combination of both of those things, plus one other thing is what they call the human-animal conflict. And that's where, and now I'm going to talk about Kenya for a moment. And Kenya is the only country that has outlawed trophy hunting. And they have clamped down hard on poachers, but they have a population explosion in Africa. And so people are starting to build farms on the ancient migratory routes of these animals. The animals, for hundreds of years, they've walked on these routes. When the seasons change, they have to go where there's more foliage, more water. And now when they walk on their normal route, they run into a farm and there's crops on there. And so, of course, they're going to start munching on the crops. And that's when the farmers who depend on the crops for their livelihood and don't really know anything about wild animals, because they're mostly not well-educated people in those situations, they get out their poison arrows and they shoot them.
Wow. So what can be done, as someone like yourself who is an environmental advocate, what can be done, not necessarily for the ones in captivity or in entertainment venues, because a lot is being done for that, what can be done to make sure that they are safe in their own environment?
Well, education mostly, and protections in the local areas. When I was there, I was working with some girls who were from those kind of areas. And I was at first shocked to realize that they knew nothing about wildlife and even their environment. I mean, this is something which is not taught in school. And then later I realized it's not taught in our schools much either, at least not when I was coming up. And so, and then also a lot of the girls over there, the young girls, they get raped and they have babies. And as soon as they get raped, they never go back to school. So there's a huge segment of the population, which is their resources are completely wasted. So one of my personal goals is I want to start a new school, a new kind of school in Kenya called the Elephant Matriarch School. And it's for young mothers and children. And it's going to be for these girls, these young mothers. And it's going to send them back to school. And all of their lessons are going to be based around nature and animal. And this is my goal anyway, to bring in other experts to come and talk to them and get these girls in a really high position in terms of knowing about the environment. And then the reason it's the Elephant Matriarch School is because, as I told my students, you will be the matriarchs in your community. You are a strong mother. You are going to learn what you need to do and go back and teach your community. And I think this would be a great resource.
Where did your love of elephants begin and how?
Oh, boy. I once had a past life experience where I was an elephant. But that happened many years ago, and before I was even thinking about animals or elephants or anything, it came out of nowhere. And it was, at the time, it was interesting, but I just, you know, just kept on going, didn't really know what it was about. But years later, when I got a dog, I fell so in love with my dog. And then I kept wanting to know more about animals and more about the animal world. And I fell in with some elephant advocates, and I learned a lot from them. And a couple of conservationists came over from Africa and they talked to us. And the more I learned, the more I was drawn in. I had no idea any of the things about elephants, how amazing they are, how intelligent they are. You know, a baby elephant's brain is bigger than a whole human baby. And the way they help each other, and they help other animals, they're like very kind animals, and the way that they shaped our whole world, because at one time elephants were on every continent, and they shaped, because there's their massive size, by walking and eating, and like you had in your other program, the digestion is not good, so they're always, you know, pooping out this rich poop that starts new growth in the land. So that's how forests have grown up because of these elephants, and also how the forests became more friendly for other animals, because when they walk through there, they sort of tear down the little growth, and it makes the big growth go much bigger and much more carbon capture. And in fact, this has been studied by the International Monetary Fund. And one elephant, because of the carbon capture that they permit and they create in their environment, one elephant is worth millions of dollars just to leave it alone.
So they do have a positive impact on global ecosystems.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fascinating story indeed. And I want to mention your book one more time. It's Terriers in the Jungle. It's a novel, but it touches on some of the things we've talked about, including your two little dogs.
Yes.
Georgia, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Animal and environmental advocate Georgia Umano, author of Terriers in the Jungle. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the page for this show, which is show number 0667, and you'll find links to Georgia's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.